everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core, the show about video games. I don't know how to start these shows because we used to be so different, you know? It's like, is the Heroes of the Storm, and check it out, everybody. But it's not that anymore. So I'll just say it's me, Scott Johnson, with Beau Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're here ready to embrace our streaming video game future by streaming a show about video games. So welcome to GDC week, which is an intense week for a lot of us. It's intense for me for a couple of reasons. Big announcements, stuff going down like that. But also, my daughter is there, all by her lonesome in San Francisco at the event. And, you know, I worry. I want people to take care of her and, you know, look out for her, that kind of thing. And all I got in town to help me is Terpster. That's not going to help. It's a bad idea. But anyway, it's good to see you all. Nice to see you, fellers. And let's get to it. You guys, should we just dive in and talk about Google, do you think?
Yeah, let's Google it.
Last week we said, or I said, and then we talked about the idea that, hey, next week, don't forget, Google's going to get up at GDC and they're going to make some kind of announcement. Nobody knows what. Will it be a box? Will it be a streaming thing? What will it be? And it turns out it's kind of a brand new platform. And by platform, I mean this. Okay, it's going to be hard to know where to start this. You know what? Here's how we'll start it. Let's talk about what we know about the service, about what they announced for sure, and some of the things that we don't know, and then we'll get to my theory, because I have a theory that has lodged itself in my head and will not stop bugging me until I unload it here on Core. Okay?
Okay.
So here you go. Here's what we know. Bo, are you frozen or are you good? He's frozen.
Oh, he's moving.
Oh, is
he's
he moving? Frozen. Bo, are you he's there? Moving. Can you hear us? Bo?
What's going on with him?
Help,
he's
help.
Moving, but we can't hear anything from him.
No. Bo, are you there?
Sorry, you guys are cutting out.
Oh.
It's on my end.
This is really weird.
Peter doesn't like Discord.
Do you want me to call you back on, like, Slack?
No, there's nothing to be done. I think I need to put old Lassie here to bed.
Oh, poor computer. You know, you just shoot her, are you? You know, just put a gun to the side of her hard drive and let her go.
I mean, I might try a format. Oh. We'll try lobotomizing her and see if we can get on in normal society. And if not, then we'll
all right.
have to euthanize it,
well,
I think.
We'll see what happens. Hopefully.
But we'll remove the graphics card and put that in the new baby.
Oh, I see.
Like humans do. They take the old kidneys and put them in the baby, and then the baby has healthy kidneys.
Is that what they
anyway,
do?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I don't think they do that. I don't think anyone takes someone's adult kidney and puts it in a baby.
I may have watched Dumb and Dumber 2 while falling asleep, and somehow that got mixed with fact in my mind.
Oh my gosh. Is that, can I, before we get into this Google talk, was that a, how is that movie? I didn't see the Dumb and Dumber sequel.
I liked it.
Yeah. But
a little word of warning before you watch it.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's really dumb. Okay. I think that was part of the charm of the original, and that second one, it did it for me.
All right. Well, people at home, the only advice I'd have for you leading into this is do not attempt to transplant a human adult healthy kidney into a baby. All right. Just don't do it.
That's the premise. Harry needs a new kidney.
Oh,
that's the plot.
But he's an adult man. He's not a baby, right?
That's right. But they're not exactly the brightest when it comes to figuring out where to get said kidneys from.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I never saw it. I'll have to see. And this is the new one where they're old, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll have to watch that finally. Let's get into it here. Here's what we know. At launch, Google says the service will be able to run games up to 4K, 60 frames per second, with a 30 megabit connection. So if you got 30 down, I don't know if that's down and up. They didn't clarify some of that. But if you've got a 30 megabyte connection, a megabit rather, bits per second, you can support 4K, 60 frames per second. And they left out of this... it'll also support what's it called, not UMD,
HDR.
Yeah, it'll support UMDs from the PlayStation Portable, so bring that along anyway. And if you got a slower speed, you'd be around 1080p probably. Still fairly impressive at those speeds. Platform will scale down the frame rate and graphics for internet connections below 30. If you have less bandwidth, we'll give you a lower resolution. That was in a quote that Phil Harrison gave to Kotaku after the event. So some clarification there. I haven't even said the name of this dumb thing. Stadia. I hate it. I hate the name. I hate it. Okay.
It's growing on me, I guess I would say.
Is it really?
I don't love it.
How is it growing? Tell me, because I need to learn.
I don't know. It's just normalizing, I guess. Stadia? I guess I've just heard it enough. But yeah, it sounds like artificial sweetener.
So here's a thought. Hopefully I can convey this.
Yeah.
I'm with everyone. I think Stadia is a horrid name. But is it any better than Nintendo?
Well, Nintendo's right. A company name, though.
Right.
They've been around for a long time. When Nintendo first came out, it was like, you're going to play Nintendo? And, when we were kids, it's like, oh, it's cool. It's a console. But, like, you know, a lot of people are just like, Nintendo? What the hell is a Nintendo? Like, it's... It isn't any cooler than Nintendo. It's just Nintendo's been around 30 years.
Partly, but also Nintendo had, for at least for the U.S. audience, I can't say for the rest of the world, but for us, it was this new quirky sounding name, and it sounded like a toy. Like, Nintendo just sounds like a weird toy.
Yeah, because it's like a Japanese name, but it's like, I don't know if Nintendo is a common name in Japan, but it might be like calling your console the John Smith Entertainment Center. Our system. The Jesus.
Yeah, the Jesus. Welcome to the Jesus.
So,
but
you know.
I get that, but what I'm saying is Stadia sounds like focus group tested corporate talk. Like,
go ahead. But I'm with Bo. It's just because we're jaded now. Mm. Now we judge every name.
Mm. You think that's what it is? You know what? I thought John was going to hate the name. I was
sure. I do hate the name. Yeah. I'm with you. I hate the name, but I think I just hate the name because I can acknowledge that I hate every name now.
Oh, so this isn't okay. No, you know what? That's cool. I'll accept that.
Like, tell me a name that somebody has come up with recently that's a new name that, like, hey, we're launching our product. It's the, and it's a new word.
Yeah.
Not so, like, somebody could come out and go, this is the Spectre. And it's like, all right, cool. Spectres are great. I've heard about that forever. But a new name, they made it up, and we all went, ooh, that's cool. Like, we hate every one of them. I just think it's just. This continues the trend of us hating every name.
I don't disagree. I think you're probably right, and I think that's a fair point. So I'm going to stop. This is where I officially stop complaining about the name, not because of what you just said. I had planned this earlier because everyone's heard me complain about it. I'll stop complaining. It sounds like a medical. It sounds like something I need for a condition. Ah, you got the gout, do you? Try Stadia. It'll help. It'll heal you up in a week. Ask your doctor if it's right for you. Or worse, it sounds like you said artificial sweetener or something. It's just a weird ass name for a game related thing. All right. It's out of my system. I'm never making fun of it again. And John's right. All names are dumb. PlayStation was a dumb name when I first heard it. Xbox was a stupid name when I first heard it. In fact, I still kind of think Xbox is a stupid name. Like, I've never gotten over some of them. So you're right. You're totally right. I get it. It's impossible to come up with a name that works for everybody. And that's fine. Although xCloud, which is supposedly the name of the Microsoft service, is almost worse because it's
xCloud sounds like a Final Fantasy character that's just given up.
He's like opposite. He's like Sonic the Hedgehog, Shadow the Hog, or Shadow the Hedgehog. Shadow the Hog, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
He was a little hedgehog that looked all dark and evil. He was Hot Topic dog or hog.
Yeah, and he pulled out a gun and just iced people.
Yeah, Hog Topic, they called him. Anyway, that guy was an a-hole, and I don't know why I'm bringing that up. Anyway, the point is, oh, you know what? The Genesis was a cool name for a video game console.
Yeah, but again, a word.
Yeah, it's still a word, but it was a cool word. It was like the Genesis.
The right.
Super Nintendo Entertainment System is dumb sounding. SNES is almost worse because we're just shortening it, but we're used to it so it doesn't bother us. Plus, we associate it with a good time.
And yeah, so maybe, I'm saying anytime they've made up a word,
right,
and they haven't picked something that was already out there. I mean, do you remember when they decided to go from the Nintendo Dolphin to the GameCube, and everyone was like, "What was wrong with the Dolphin? Yeah. I like dolphins."
Because everybody had heard it and they were used to it by then. And then GameCube is actually kind of a cool name.
Yeah, but it's made up of two actual words.
Hey, that's true. I don't know, man. Anyway, the point is, here's my, I should keep reading these. I'm so like all over the place on this thing. My brain has been on fire since yesterday because it's all I can think about. And I've thought about all these potential ups and downs and lefts and rights. And I've got so much to say on the subject. So to keep my brain in its proper place, I'm just going to keep reading these. All right, here we go. All Stadia games will require a constant internet connection. If your internet goes down, you can't play them. We know that. That seems like a given. Stadia can run on any device that has Google Chrome. That includes phones of all brands and types, tablets, PCs, and TVs. The Stadia data center PCs, where games will be actually running, will use Linux to do that. Data center PC specs are pretty good. They do 10.7 teraflops of data, which is something like triple the current generation capability. Bunch of funky numbers probably people aren't going to care about. But they are using custom processors and custom GPUs. The memory on these things, 16 gigabytes of RAM, the 484 gigabytes of transfer speed, L2 and L3 cache. It sounds like we're talking about PCs because we kind of are, but these are the blades. These are the servers are going to be at the server farm. just making sure Bo's moving. All right. And then I just had to look, just checking the face.
Okay, I think I'm hearing okay.
Okay, we'll good.
It's very tentative.
All right. Early on, releases from the newly formed first party studio, Stadia Games and Entertainment, will be smaller and aimed at highlighting the platform's unique capabilities. This is what they hired Jade Raymond for, formerly of Ubisoft, and later at, was she at EA? I think it was EA for a while. Anyway, that's her and that'll be her baby over there. Most second-party games will be exclusives, and ones that aren't will have Stadia-exclusive features. Doom Eternal has been confirmed for it, partly because that game is twitchy as hell and a good way to show off lack of latency in a game and on a service like this.
I mean, we talked about it last week, like, prove it to us. I think Doom is a perfect benchmark for prove it to you.
Because
that's a game that relies on frame rate and is going to look very nice doing it. So I think that's honestly seeing them come out and talk about it was where I was like, okay, let's see what you got.
Starting to turn a little bit. Same here.
Yeah.
So what's funny, pre-show, John and I kind of, while we were waiting for Bo to come back, I think we kind of ended up on the same page in terms of our expectations, our worries, and we'll get to all that in a minute, but I've noticed that same kind of tone from most of my gamer friends today. We're all feeling this combination of there's a zeitgeist change coming, not zeitgeist, what's the word? Paradigm shift coming, possibly. And it means a lot of stuff to us who've been doing this for a long time. And anyway, we'll get to that in a second. All right. The Stadia controller is required to play games on a TV with a Chromecast, which is how you'll play that over there. If you're on a PC or a Mac or a tablet or phone or whatever, the controller won't matter as much. So on PCs, for example, you could use an Xbox One controller. You could use a controller of whatever USB type controller you use now, you can totally use. Google has sent Stadia kits to or dev kits to 100 development partners. Harrison told the website Kotaku that the game's available on Stadia at launch and shortly after will be revealed in the summer. According to Harrison, the video game inspired icons shown during the lead up to GDC's presentation were not indicative of types of games coming to it, and they were used just for fun and for the marketing program. Now, that's all the stuff we know. There's lots of questions and things about stuff we don't know. Specifically, they didn't really announce a service. They announced a platform. The service will come later. We don't know what that'll cost. We don't know what that means. Some people are like, well, is it like Netflix for games? Here's what I think it is. So here's my big theory, and now we can chew this apart. I can finally get this out of my head.
Okay.
What Google is launching is not a new service, although there are service aspects to it. It's not a new way of getting your games, even though it is, but it's not necessarily going to change the way people play their games. What I think they launched is, or what they're launching is a platform akin to a new console revolution. And what I mean by that is, I don't see this any differently than I would see somebody saying, hey, we're here comes the PlayStation 5, or here comes the Xbox One 2, or here comes whatever, the Switch 2.0. Like, this is what that is. It's a platform. It's not a box connected to your TV, necessarily, but it's a platform just like those others. So, in other words, if you're a developer and you're making, let's just come up with a game, you're making Apex Legends for multiple consoles and devices and PCs and stuff. Respawn Entertainment, and therefore EA, now have another new platform to develop it for. And while, yes, it's possible that some of the capabilities of this of these cloud services, as described on stage, could give them more capabilities beyond what Apex currently is, but it's just them making a version of Apex for this other platform. That platform happens to be a cloud-based streaming thing you only get through your, you know, having good internet, but it's still just a platform, or in a lot of ways, it's just a new console. The biggest difference is it uses multiple computers with specialized chips to do all the processing for you, so you're not buying a new box every year, you're not trying to find out the latest, greatest console, and you're not having to buy a new PC or a new video card once in a while to keep up with the latest and greatest. Instead, you're getting the latest and greatest in 4K at 60 frames per second directly to whatever crap computer you still have, because if it can run Chrome, it can run this. And that's all it is. Like, it's not anything. I guess what I'm just saying is I want to get this mindset out, at least out of my own head, to see if anyone else feels this way. But it's going to be the same. If Microsoft comes out at E3 and says, xCloud is our new platform, what they're in effect, they're announcing a new console that just happens to be powered by the earth and not your box. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to make a prediction for it, I think the way I would describe it is, if I was going to guess, and we don't know, I would say that it is going to be a probably another store, much like Steam, where you can go and buy games for Stadia as a service, and I think there will be a subscription fee attached to it.
You think there will be? That, see, I'm you might be right, but here's, I could be totally wrong about this, but for some reason I can't get this out of my head. If they launch this thing as, okay, let's look at the console market as it is right now. If you want to make a PlayStation 4 game, you make the game, but you also have to pay Sony a licensee fee, or whatever they call it, whatever the fee is.
Right.
And that's just part of the business. You want to run on our platform, you pay us a little piece. This wouldn't be any different than that in my mind.
Well, I don't think they do it, because part of the advantage to this is that you never have to buy another system ever again.
Right.
So there's no need for them to say, well, pay us $50 up front, unless they do something where it's, I can see them selling a package product of like, here's the controller and a Chromecast and, you know, maybe something else thrown in there, whatever. Give us, you know, X amount of money for this. But if me as a person just wants to get games through Stadia, yep, and be able to play on all my devices, my guess is I have to buy the game through Stadia, and I probably have to pay a monthly fee for the service, because they will collect more money taking that monthly fee than if they said, well, give us $100 and then never give us $100 ever again. You know what I mean? Okay, like, that's okay. That's not a great deal for them, especially because the margins on video games in general are not that great in favor of anybody. That's why we see, you know, $200 deluxe edition games, is that's the way they have allowed inflation in video games without games breaking $60, essentially.
This is a good point. So maybe the only difference then between my model and what you're saying is, for example, Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus, they're add-on services if you want to play multiplayer. This is a scenario where there is no add-on. It's just, it is the service you have to pay for, because multiplayer, right, or single player or otherwise, you have to use the service to do it. Therefore, it's some subscription fee. I think you're probably right. So now let's add that to the mix. It's a platform, and you're like, I'm going to play Madden 2020 on Stadia. Really going to have to get used to that name. And then that means that I pay $49 or whatever it is, like I buy a game, And then there's a little fee. I think John's right. That's actually what I, that's way more in line with what I was thinking than I was thinking when you first said it. I think you're totally right. Because why would they give that away for free? There's no way they're going to do the service for free. Like, that facilitation is where they're going to make their money. The games themselves, you could get on any platform. But it's potentially very disruptive to the industry. Not so disruptive in the sense that, like, okay, so my other prediction is this. Microsoft has to have an answer for this in June. And they'll have the perfect stage to do it because E3 is basically theirs this year. Nintendo doesn't do anything on stage, and Sony is bowing out this year for Lord Zeus knows why. Honestly, they're in trouble, if you ask me, because Microsoft probably has an answer to this. On Daily Tech News Show today, we were talking about how Google has the infrastructure. Google has servers and nodes everywhere. Google has fiber everywhere. Like, they have everything from top down to facilitate this technology and the know-how and the wherewithal to make it super efficient in the middle of it all. So they've got every end of it covered. Microsoft's the only other company that has anything close to that. Their Azure stuff, their cloud server stuff, is huge. It's their number one moneymaker, and it's gigantic and is already there and is as close to Google as you're going to get in terms of infrastructure. So Microsoft's already in a good place. Sony doesn't have any of this. They have their little streamy thing, but it's their games and a little third party here and there, but nothing major. And it's exclusive on the PlayStation, and you can't play it on multiple devices. You just play it there. There's some PC stuff, but that's a pain in the ass. Like, Sony is going from this generation where they are in a clear lead. They are about to get punked hard, I think, because they don't have an answer to this. Go ahead, Bo.
Did you see the rumors about Microsoft and Steam?
No. What was that about?
So I read an article that said something. There was a bit of marketing. I wish I could find it. I tried to find it before the show, but I couldn't find it. I read this article that was saying, it was Microsoft saying they had to bury the hatchet with old rivals to bring new things to the future. Something pertinent to this conversation about what Microsoft may be announcing shortly. And the rumor or speculation was that since Steam machines, you know, that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. It might make sense as a partnership between the two companies.
Interesting.
I mean, we're seeing it with the Master Chief Collection coming out on Steam. Mm-hmm. That's a big Microsoft property for their store. But
why wouldn't it be on Windows Live and not on Steam, right? There's this acknowledgement there where companies are trying to pull away from Steam. Yeah. There's almost like a play to be made there to solidify Steam with Microsoft.
Possibly. I mean, they had a very antagonistic history.
But that's why the bury the hatchet with old rivals was of interest. Mm.
Yeah, good point. Plus, you can get the Master Chief Collection on the Windows Store as well. But the fact that they're putting it there is a nice gesture. It's pretty much, you know, Microsoft's biggest franchise. And so I think there's something there. But I don't know. Maybe. I mean, the fact that Live is coming to the Switch in some form. Actually, now in the face of what we learned from Google, and now my imagination going crazy about what xCloud could be capable of, that may mean a lot more for what Xbox Live will be on the Switch than just leaderboards and managing your account and doing chat and stuff. Like, there's more to it than that. I don't know, but
you got to look at that. These products are marketed to a demographic, or they sell a particular kind of fantasy. You know, there's a PC fantasy, there's a Switch fantasy. Xbox has its fantasy. I guess you like television and sports and like general. Like, you think about the way the products are marketed, they're generally targeted to somebody. Mm-hmm. So I think you look at it, it's console wars. We sell games, you sell games, let's fight. But really, Steam, Switch, and Microsoft, I feel, really have distinct cultural identities and markets. Like, I don't own a Switch. I don't own an Xbox. I love my PC. It'll be what I buy first.
Right.
So I'd love to take a crack at Xbox and Switch game. You know, I'm not saying I'm kind of going off the deep end a bit, but I don't know. I know this is about Stadia.
I don't think that's uncalled for, Bo, because, I mean, we're seeing big cooperation between Nintendo, Microsoft, and now starting to see it with Steam as well. And that's three very powerful partners that all come together if they really are.
If they are, it'd be huge. I don't know if I'm 100% sold on that, but I like the thinking. I mean, I just think there's...
I mean, there's the other part of this conversation is like Google's reputation.
Yeah.
Like, I like Google. I use it a lot. I mean, I know that the browser could be better. Yes, I have 50 tabs open. Just make it better.
Yeah.
But I like Chrome. I like some of their products, but I also think of all the products that I hated that disappeared into the sunset. You know, like Google Talk. Is Hangouts still a thing? People really like Hangouts.
Yeah. Hangouts is still a thing, but it's not what it used to be. Plus is going away.
It's not big, let's say. I don't know. Some of their stuff might be big
still,
in corporate
It's just
world,
still there, but, I mean. It's still being used, so it's still an active service. But they've closed. So like, you're right. Google Plus, Buzz. What was that other thing they used to have?
YouTube Gaming.
YouTube Gaming, they just kind of let... Well, I don't know, though. That announcement on stage made it sound like, oh, like... I was all poo-pooing those guys for shutting down YouTube Gaming because I just thought they didn't give it a hard enough attempt or they just didn't stick with it. And just it felt like they were just losing interest or whatever, kind of what you're saying. But when he got up on stage and talked about that integration with YouTube, I think they dumped it all for this, straight up. Like, what they talked about on stage is that integration with YouTube is huge. Imagine me watching you play a game in your YouTube stream that you just had to push a button for on your sweet controller to get into. And I'm like, ooh, Bo's playing. And I jump into your game through a link on that page, like on the video. Like, that kind of stuff's nuts. Like, it's kind of cool. But it goes beyond just where are we streaming. It's more like, where are we interacting? You know, how are we connecting? That sort of thing.
Well, and that was the part where I was like, this is where you're starting to get skeptic, John, because you and I were just talking, Scott, about how nice it is. Oh, I'm using Google and it's clearly the leader, but yet Chrome still allows me to maybe select a different search engine than Google. They don't require, well, if you're going to use our browser, you're going to use our search engine. Mm. Like, you have options there. Notice they didn't say one thing about Twitch during this entire thing.
Yeah, how am I going to put Kappas in my broadcast?
Right. All right. How are you going to be sunglasses? What'd you call them? Sunglasses
Kappa.
Guy.
This is Kappas or Hey You.
You're right.
I don't know what the emotes are.
So, I mean, I'm not really looking forward to suddenly making the jump to be a YouTube streamer. I don't think a lot of us want to do that necessarily.
You guys ever see Facebook streams?
No.
I did once.
They show up every now and then. Awful. It's like, it's just like, yeah, like, I get this people streaming, but they shouldn't stream on Facebook.
Well, there was one recently that was very regrettable. Yeah, like, I mean, look. You're not wrong. Like, Google has gone through all sorts of stuff like this where they pick up a thing and they drop it. This is massive, though. This is different. This is not Google Wave where they're like just screwing around with a Twitter competitor. Like, it's
ear to the ground stuff. I just think you can be a company and have a big idea, but if you don't have your ear to the ground with the community and the product and are agile about what people want.
Well, do you think them hiring Phil Harrison and Jade Raymond are a big, huge start to that? Because Phil Harrison has been around the block. That dude's been in charge of Microsoft games. He's been in charge of Sony stuff. He's a big deal. I mean, I'm just saying, like, maybe the right people are there now. I don't know. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Certainly, everything as presented sounds great. It's tempting and very easy to poo-poo big ideas and stuff like that. But at the same time, there's red flags.
Yeah, they have a lot to prove and they need to, because at the end of the day, it's always about content. There were people poo-pooing the idea of streaming video back before Netflix took over. And when they were doing that, it was when Netflix was just getting started. Like, oh, this is never going to work. This is stupid. Who's going to watch this? This is never going to happen. Never going to happen. Now all we argue about is how cool the content is. We're done talking about delivery or if it's possible or any of that. We're now talking about, oh my gosh, you see that new show. It's amazing. Well, I have Hulu because I prefer this. Like, we're now past it and we're talking content. I'm excited for the day we're past the platform discussion and it's down to content again. And that's where it'll matter.
I think that's what this sold me on. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I would say the thing that I walked away from this thinking was I am sold on this being a possibility in the for our future and a direction we're going, and I'm excited for it, which I was trepidatious last week. Oh, I'm throwing my microphone. I'm so excited. but I'm really excited about the potential, and I didn't feel that way last week. 1 week later and I'm like, man, this could be really cool. Think of what they could do with it. But I'm not sold that Google is the right company to do it.
Yeah.
That's the wait and see now for me.
They're not
the technology.
Whether, and I think it goes to Bo's point. If they're the right company to do it, they do need their ear to the ground. They need to be connected in a way that's meaningful. It's why partly the name and the logo bug me. They don't feel like video game things. They just seem arbitrary. Mm-hmm. And it's a small
gaming
thing.
Gaming is so fickle.
It's easy to look at that and go, you know, and get... I just want this to be, I want Google to be serious about this. This is also a thing they announced at GDC, which you could say, oh, well, that's where the developers are. It's the world's largest developer conference. And that's true, it is. And that's good. That's who they want to talk to. They want them getting started on using these kits and getting going. But at the same time, it's also not the national or the international stage for letting everyone else know about your hot new idea. So I'm a little surprised they did that and didn't use it at E3. They're also... you know, they haven't done this yet. They haven't had any real gaming inroads. However, then I remember back to me trying the Chrome trial, which apparently was this, but just a trial with them running Assassin's Creed Odyssey via your browser. I was sure that was gonna disappoint me. I was gonna do that and go, that was dumb, or that was choppy, or that was sucky. And that was back before I even changed my ISP to be faster. And that thing was seamless and looked amazing. It looked as good as what the PC right next to it was showing in all of its full glory running on local hardware. Here it was on a Chromebook browser, and later I tried it on my Mac just to see the comparison, and they look as good as anything I was running on the PC side, and was fast, and I didn't notice any latency. Like, real good. And it impressed me, and I walked away from that going, oh, interesting, and then I kind of forgot about it. And then this got announced, and I went, well, if it's as good as that, And then they get good at giving us what we want, knowing what we want, building that internal company around what gamers want. They could be the company because they have all the tools for it. The question is, do they have the stick with itness and the desire to just go the full distance or not? And Microsoft strikes me as more the company that might be willing to do that than Google. And they've had some, you know, they've had experience of sticking it out with a bad few years of a console launch and that sort of thing.
But, and they do have a bit of an uphill battle too. Not everyone has the kind of connection required. Like, there are places in both of our countries where the internet isn't that great and no one wants to buy great internet. They want a reasonably priced internet. So I think there's a sense that, like, having the reliable product is more important.
Yeah.
So, like,
let me stop you there and say this. I totally am with you. But this isn't them saying everyone uses this or nobody uses it. There's enough of a market with these speeds ready to go worldwide without their data caps, without all those caveats. There's enough market there to go for it. And because this is just another platform in the lineup, these guys are going to, you know, game makers and developers are going to keep making games for multiple platforms like they do now. That's why I think it's important to look at this as a platform and not an end-all, be-all service. This isn't meant to take over gaming. In fact, what I predict, if they're serious about this and Microsoft's serious about this, my prediction is the next generation, quote-unquote, which may be the last generation because it'll just keep evolving, but the next generation of announcements and therefore what we play won't be on boxes. It will be these two services. And they'll lead in the space because Sony doesn't have one or doesn't have enough of one. And they don't have the back end and the infrastructure to do anything about it. So that's where I think we're headed, is that direction. Now, to your point, though, there are going to be people on the outside or someone in Kansas going, damn it, I can only get 5 megabyte, and that's the best it's ever going to get. I'm trying not to make fun of his accent, whoever this poor person is I'm doing. But that guy he's right. It is bad on his end, and it won't work for him, not until infrastructure improves in his area. And what will he be left with? Doing it the old way. Download it from Steam, play it on his PlayStation or whatever other way you can do it, because these aren't going to usurp all other platforms immediately. You're going to have multiple platforms for multiple kinds of gamers. Nintendo's nowhere near any of this. We haven't even talked about what their strategy would be, because I don't think they need this to do even worry about it, because they get their own weird thing to do. And so I think there'll always be a way and a platform for everybody, but there's this big market in the middle, and they know it's there. So does Microsoft, or they wouldn't be doing this. Big market of people who are technically ready for it. And they're going to make a shit ton of money doing it.
Well, plus, if I were going to bet for Microsoft as well, I would say that I think they're going to have a box for this next generation. I think this is the future they're looking towards, and I think it will be a part of it. But I think there will also be a box. So Kansas farmer who can't get the download speeds can still go buy whatever Microsoft's new console is, presumably.
And get his game. So you think they'll have a streaming box? Yeah, I think I agree with this. I mean, not it may not be as fully featured. Like, I could just picture it as a receiver for what you're doing. And yeah, they stick closer to the kind of console TV model and not worry about, well, it's on every phone and every tablet and all these other complicated things. They just say, here's where the core is. Here's where we're going to focus. It's this service, but it also can let you download because you got data caps and you just can't deal. Or you got to go to Walmart and get your disc because you live in Kansas. Kansas, I'm sure you have great internet. But this is a total fake example.
Right.
And I apologize. You say Idaho, Southern Utah, fine. Put it in my own state. I don't care. They have good internet. But if, let's say they don't. I think that's probably Microsoft's play come June. So I agree with you.
It's their advantage that Google can't match.
Right. And they've got that brand advantage. And they've got lots of reasons why you would say, ooh. Plus, it's kind of Microsoft's turn again, you know? There's a feeling of that going around.
Yeah, it's time to tag in.
Yeah.
We get to be the good guys this generation.
And where this leaves Sony is in a very interesting place. Like, this is the thing I'm most excited about is, what does Sony do? Because on the one hand, you could say their biggest strength is first party and they make incredible games that you can't get anywhere else. And they win all the Game of the Year awards. And it's true. They do. They kick ass with their first party development. It's what made them so strong this generation, among other factors. But that's the main one. That's why I like them. All right, that's why I like Sony games a lot. So when the next Horizon Zero Dawn or the next God of War, the next giant hit's going to come out in this new future, does that automatically put Sony on the back foot? Because the best they can do is, well, here's a box and you can buy the discs and you can download it. Like, their current model, does that hold up in the future with these other two companies doing what they're going to do? That's a big question. And I don't know the answer to that, but I am fascinated to watch it. Like, I really want to see what their reaction to this is. Because as it stands right now, like, Sony's a no-show at GDC in terms of any kind of major anything. They are not coming to E3. They may do some video or stream or do something else like Nintendo does, but they haven't said as much. Like, they've gone weirdly quiet for all of this. And even Microsoft today in that memo, he says, hey, the internal memo to everybody was, hey, Microsoft went big, or Google went big today. Now it's our turn to go big in June. Like, they're acknowledging it. They're saying, yeah, there's this huge behemoth doing this thing. We're ready for ours too. And it's exciting. Way more than even last week when we talked about it. Last week I was like, this is just on live for the new people, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, here we are. But but what it really might end up being is, no, like, on live was the Diamond Rio MP3 player, and these things are the iPod and beyond. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's could be where we're iterating to. I'm not saying for sure, because I don't know. Nobody knows. But I'm not so much sold that it's Google, and I'm not even that much sold that it's Microsoft, but I am sold that this is something.
Yeah.
And the capabilities, just if you just look at the raw technical capabilities, it's crazy. They even said on stage, how would everyone feel about a 1,000-person battle royale? Now, I'm not saying that sounds like fun or doesn't sound like fun. I don't know. But the capability would be there. Right now, we have bottlenecks all over the place why that's not possible. This kind of infrastructure makes that possible and then some. MMOs suddenly go from you're on a shard, or you got kind of a fake shard that's one shard, but really you're just streaming everybody in here and there the way WoW does it now. You know, you're putting band-aids on all your limitations and bottlenecks, as described, technically it sounds like this could change the face of that for freaking ever. But then it brings up a bunch of questions. What does a company like Blizzard do in the face of this? Do they do anything? Because they've stayed out of everybody's stores and tried to stay independent, does that mean that they're just left in the lurch? Does it mean that they jump onto this and say, well, you can get our game also on these services, or we have a new game coming to one of these platforms and it's going to be huge because of the capability? You know, like, I have so many questions about what current leaders do in the face of this.
I wonder, well, I mean, if they're going to pioneer it, who's going to, if it's successful, who's going to steal it?
Right.
Like, in a way, Google pioneering it, like, you know, sometimes it happens where you're first there doesn't mean you're best, or you become the biggest. If they fumble, make a lot of mistakes, some company like Blizzard, I could see just they wouldn't be like, hey, Google, let's use your stuff. They'd probably be like, let's see if we can't use our own things. Like, I think they're very closed in that way, right? Well,
somebody has to be Atari. Somebody has to be Diamond, as I used. Somebody in another gaming example, somebody has to be freaking OnLive. OnLive's a closer virtual example. Oh. Yeah, or even the Virtual Boy. I mean, honestly, like, it's almost like that's the bullet some innovator has to take so that others can iterate on the innovation. Some would argue that Google's just the latest in a long line of innovations since those OnLive days. And that's true. I mean, but it's still a big deal. They can't fumble this ball if they want to do it.
Yeah, it's just so much potential to me. And I'm going to use a Dungeons & Dragons analogy.
Sweet.
Let's get super nerdy.
Let's do it.
Right?
Let's do it.
Here's what I'm thinking, because I spent a lot of time today looking at D&D spells. And I was looking at the spell polymorph, and I thought, that seems okay. Mm-hmm. You know, turn something into something else. You know, that's all right. So we're fighting two ogres, polymorph one. Now we're fighting one ogre, and there's a turtle walking around.
Right.
Yeah, seems okay. That seems all right.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about it, and I was like, well, wait a minute. If it's a little turtle, I could pick it up. I could drop it from a high height. I could polymorph myself. And turn into, instead of a little turtle, something big and cool that's tough and strong.
Yeah.
I could polymorph a friend of mine and turn them into something amazing. And all of a sudden, this little one-use spell, this little thing that I was just looking at in a, you know, WoW / Hearthstone method of just, you know, make it a sheep and then it just walks around and whatever and we ignore it, suddenly had all these different possibilities. And that's kind of how I felt about this, because I was like, oh my gosh, we could do crazy things with graphics. They were showing some really insane things that you can do with, you know, they were saying if you want to do two screens showing two different aspects of the game at the same time, developers don't do that anymore. Like, essentially split screen co-op. Right. Nobody does that anymore. It's too taxing on the system. Now they can do it all over the place, as many screens as you want.
Yeah, you could have 20 screens up without a hit to anybody.
In a world where you can do that, the possibilities of what you can develop around it are insane.
Yeah.
And so there is so much potential here that if it works at its core level, they could do some crazy things and it could completely change the way graphics and video games and just games in general are played. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it's exciting. And those who are, let me say this to anyone who's feeling like this is change they don't want. I'm with you. I feel it too. John and I were talking about this before. Like, there's a weird feeling of excitement and apprehension, because part of me is like, don't you take my fancy graphics card away that I bought and put into this machine and tinkered with and got perfect and updated drivers for. What do you think you're doing? Because what they're suggesting is a very different approach that we're just freaking not used to. And I always try to remember my friends back in 2002 and 4 and 5 and 6 when early days of internet streaming were being talked about. And they just all were like, whatever, that's never going to be a thing. Never be going to be a thing. And never be able to watch a movie online. That's stupid. That's a terrible idea. How would that ever work? They were so wrong about it. Like, ridiculously backwards, completely wrong about it. And I don't want to be wrong about this one. At the same time, I get it. You know, take my cool stuff out of my cold, dead hands kind of attitude. I get it. But on the other hand, once, if this works and like John says, they get it right at the core level, and that has to be, it has to be right. Then suddenly I'm not having to worry about paying for expensive upgrades to a PC. I'm not having to worry about buying the next $500 box from whoever. I'm not having to worry about upgrading my phone constantly. Maybe the one I have for what I want to use this for is perfectly fine for much longer than I used to. What does that do to companies like NVIDIA? What does it do? Like, I have a lot of questions. It's disruptive, right? That's the definition of disruptive industry market stuff. It's just coming in there and going, and just like noodling its way in there. And I'm fascinated by it and apprehensive about it and excited about it. I'm all those things. It's okay to feel all these different ways is what I'm trying to say. Anything else?
Well, I'm glad you're behind it and on board, because we need people to be that way. We have to remember that new things and changes make us uneasy, and sometimes they're good and we just have to let them go. You know, most of what I've seen is not really in relation to Stadia, but in relation to Epic. I don't know if we're talking about
that. Oh yeah, we are going to talk about those guys. In fact, we should do that here in a second. But I do want to say one final thing about Stadia. It's a terrible name, and they should change it. All right, let's move on to the next bit of things here. Let's talk about Apex Legends. We'll get to Epic in a second. Apex Legends got its battle pass, and it seems fine, about kind of what people expected it to be. They have added Octane to the game, and he's a speedy little bastard, and kind of Mad Maxy in his own fun little way there. And he trades health for speed bursts, which is super interesting, and heals over time when not being shot at. So when you're kind of out of combat, you have a slow uptick on your heal, which in a game where healing matters so much, it seems crazy. But yeah. It's also, you know, he's like, what's it like? It's like
Zul'jin.
Yeah. Or who's the other one?
Gul'dan.
Gul'dan, yeah, where you gotta trade mana for life and then try to keep that balance and everything. It actually sounds like something I wouldn't like, because I hate that mechanic in those games or in other games that do this. But he's out there and he's available. He is not part of the battle pass, however. So a lot of people were hoping, the rumor was true, that you would buy the battle pass, either the $10 or the $15, whatever it is, and that would net you the new character as well. It doesn't do that. You have to buy him separately. Although in the middle of the battle pass, you do get a skin of his. It looks like it's a kind of an epic skin or something. But anyway, John, I know you're continue to be a fan of the Apex Legends. Are you interested at all in the battle pass plan? I mean, it's a lot like Fortnite's, same sort of structure.
I mean, I sadly haven't gotten to check it out yet. Things have been kind of crazy this week with the new PC coming in and all of that. It's actually been really hard for me to play Apex, because the well of people that I played with has slowly dried up. Mm-hmm. And it's been harder and harder to find a crew. And when I'm left to my own devices, if it's play Apex by myself or play something else by myself, I might be more in the mood for Apex, but I'll go play something else. So haven't played a lot of it, but I do look forward to getting into it and seeing what all is in that battle pass. But Octane seems cool. I will give him a try at some point. Mm-hmm. I will play that game again at some point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I need to keep playing it. I like it. I mean, Bo, you kind of bounced off, but you'll probably be back for a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It's not looking good.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed, and the chat room seems to say this as well, that the battle pass isn't being very well received by some of the players. They think there's just not enough there. The skins themselves are kind of not great. The progression is kind of lots and lots of like those stat trackers and the little labels you put on your character and stuff. And it's not as tangible, cool stuff as they had hoped. And so some people are like, freaking just skip it and play the game. Who cares? Respawn's answer has been publicly that, hey, look, it's our first battle pass. We're just trying to keep up. Things have gone nuts since this game launched. We're just rushing around like crazy to make sure everything gets done at a base level. And then, you know, we'll expand what this is as time goes on. And so, you know.
Yeah, I think that game is in dire need of more interesting skins. Mm-hmm. I think skins are currently, it's one of its weakest things. I look at them and I'm just like, ooh, all these are boring, not good. Mm-hmm. Like, I like some better than others, but not once have I seen a single skin in the game where I've gone, oh my gosh, I got to get that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think they really need to figure that out. They seem extremely attached to their silhouettes for the characters and not wanting to do anything that changes it. And I think that makes for very uninteresting skins because you limit yourself so severely.
Yeah, you got to overwatch that shit, man. Mm-hmm. You got to go in there and make Junkrat a totally different looking dude. People still
need to make real beefy dudes.
Yeah, more beef. That's what I'm saying. This character I'm rolling for John's one-off thing for There Will Be Dungeons is going to be beefy.
Yeah, is beefy. He basically Conan?
Kind of, but different. I have some art I'm going to do, and you guys will see it and go, oh, I see where he's going. It's not your typical just meathead, but he is beefy. He's going to have beaver accounts.
You'll enjoy hanging out with my character. It's a cat.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
Did you see the picture of it?
No, I haven't yet. Is that in the Slack? Did I miss it? I must have missed it.
Yeah, I did put it in the Slack, but I'll send it to you
now. I'll go. Yeah, send that again. I want to see it. But I have animal. I've got animal handling proficiency. Maybe I can handle you in the game.
Well, you'll have to ask John and see if it works.
I mean, I'm tempted simply because I like the idea so much.
Yeah, big giant ogre looking dude petting a cat or something there.
I'm a humanoid, thank you.
Oh, all right. Well, are you? But you can turn into a cat, or what's your deal?
I'm a tabaxi. You see, I put the picture there.
Oh, that kind of cat. All right.
Like a cat man.
Black Panther.
Here, I'm looking at him right now. Oh, that's cool. Is that a... I like that
I
better.
Photoshopped it and put an art filter over it. Oh. Not even close to being drawn.
It looks cool. Here, wait. I'll see if I can show the chat room this. I don't know if this is going to show up very well. You can kind of see it. Anyway.
Can I say my name now, or do we spoil it? I'm not sure if we're supposed to spoil it.
You can say your name. What's your name?
Yeah, my character's name is Baffo Saltz.
Oh, sweet. He has last name, eh? I like
Inspector Baffo Saltz.
Nice.
I came up with it because it sounds like bath salts.
Well, good. We should encourage illicit drug use among our listeners, I think.
I'm an inspector.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. I have no problems with any of this. All right, let's talk about Epic. Epic Games took the stage as well at GDC. And basically, they provided a few things. Tim Sweeney showed off, of course, new Unreal Engine capabilities and stuff. That demo was beautiful. I love that stuff. I could look at that all the time. I love when they have a new demo for all the ray tracing crap they're doing now and everything. The Unreal Engine continues to be super rad. But anyway, it was also a bunch of store talk, and they took a little bit of a swipe, I think, at Steam by basically saying, we're not in the porn business. We're not interested in having a store where anything goes. We would rather curate for quality. I'll give you some quotes here. Going for Epic says it intends to keep a focus on quality over quantity, or more precisely, quality over anime porn. Quote, we have a quality standard that doesn't accept crappy games, CEO Tim Sweeney told PC Gamer.
Tell him, Sweeney.
Yeah. He said this to PC Gamer. He says, we'll accept reasonably good quality games at any scale or of any scale, whether they are small indie games or huge AAA. And we'll take everything up to like R-rated movies or M-rated games. He said this, he went on to draw the line at irritating or illicit apps that piggyback on others, bloatware, as they are sometimes known, and other overtly explicit or low quality games. He says, quote, a GTA game would be fine with us, but Epic's not going to distribute porn games or bloatware or asset flips or any sort of thing that means or that is meant to shock players, the PCs, and open platform. And if we don't distribute it on our store, you can reach consumers directly.
So all the other stores except Steam.
Yeah, they all have.
Like, there's nothing special about that. I mean, have you seen the Blizzard store? It's pretty dignified.
Well, what he means by that is he's saying you can just put this on your damn website. Like, you don't need a store to do it. The PC's an open platform. It's not like a PlayStation. You can.
Yeah, but I think.
But they have the Epic store.
Well, yeah.
I think Bo's point is that there is only one store out there of the gathering of stores that has porn on it. There's just one.
Oh,
and I know because I was just clicking through hot new releases, not really paying a whole lot of attention. And I clicked one, and apparently now they're just allowing full-on porn in the little preview images. because I clicked one and I got to look through the dark portal. Just, I was just like, oh my gosh, they're not even hiding it anymore.
Yeah. What's the dark portal?
Don't worry about it. So where is that? There's literally, it's in the Badlands.
Ask your mom where the dark portal is.
It's shocking. And I was,
Why did you say it that way?
What?
I just chose to. So I thought you said dark portal because he was referring to a passage.
No, he looked into the abyss. That's a better way of saying it. Yeah.
So I clicked it because I was curious, right? Like, where does this well go?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
where does this porn lead?
Yeah, it turns out like no, their little like preview video for the thing,
yeah,
full on just porn in it.
Yeah,
just porn.
They just go.
I was just like, really, Steam? I mean, I know you're letting everything through, but I expected some level of like, hey, please don't put porn in your little preview video or in your images to sell the game.
Yeah.
No, that is apparently not a rule.
Yeah,
I am talking about the store.
Course.
But as much as that's irritating, saying you've got a clean and healthy shop is not a way to make me want to use your store. Like, this is pretty petty and dumb.
You think so? I want them to have standards.
I'm super irritated at Epic, so I have a bit of a bias, I think, when I hear this stuff because of all their exclusives. Yeah. But the idea that the way that they're going to sell or take shots at Steam, like, it's like that's every other store is like that. Steam is unique among the stores and they're all jealous of it and they're having problems. They're the ones that have problems that make headlines, not Epic Store. Epic makes headlines for us that piss everyone off. So it's this is like I really wish they did. I know they have to do a store because everyone does a store, but I'm really not satisfied with what I'm seeing or hearing. I'm not installing it or buying games off of it.
I have and will, and here's why. This is good. I'm glad we have this disagreement because I would like the store to have some. Freaking Steam last week or week and a half ago, whatever it was, everyone's like, oh no, they're going to release Rape Day on Steam. I was like, well, that doesn't seem like a good game to release. Wonder what Valve has to say about this. They finally say something and they go, yeah, it's probably not a good business decision, so we're probably just not going to put this on here. Have some standards. Like, either say, hey, it's Porn Town USA, come on in, everybody. Or don't, but don't flip-flop around and make a decision later and then sort of say, well, we'll let it in for now. How about some hentai porn? You guys okay with that? Okay, cool. Oh, someone's upset. Well, maybe we'll respond. Like, just have a standard. And by that, I don't mean standard in a hoity-toity way. I mean, like, pick a lane and drive through it. Like, are you going to do that or not? If you're going to do that, fine. And then the consumer knows. Then they know when they go there, well, got to watch out. Front page porn, watch out. Or they can go to Epic or some other store and say, well, at least they've stated what their plans are and what they will or won't allow. So I like that or I don't like that. But now you know. I want to be more informed as a consumer, and I think Steam's been lazy about that.
How's the Android store working? The way it feels to me is, you guys remember download.com?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Way back in the day when they were owned by CNET or whatever, it was a very good website to go to know that you were going to get a reliable version of whatever thing you wanted to download. You weren't going to be redirected to some site that was going to give you garbage. At a certain point, they stopped being owned by CNET, or I don't know the specifics of it, but it went the other way. It was guaranteed to put garbage on your computer because there were no standards anymore and you should never download anything from them at all under any circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it feels like Steam is becoming. I don't have an issue that porn games exist. I remember what it was like to be a young adolescent going through puberty. Great. Let them exist. Let them be out there for the people to do what they will with them. It's fantastic. But I just want to have some idea of what I'm getting into when I go to the shop. I want to know what kind of games are they putting on here? How have they been vetted? Am I exposing myself to a virus? Are they going to be mining for Bitcoin because I downloaded this game? These are all, I think, very valid questions, and Steam doesn't really seem to want to give me an answer. They just kind of go, I don't know, just I don't know. What do you want?
Well, those aren't even paranoid questions because those things have happened recently. Like,
yes,
data mining, Bitcoin crap, weird, give too much information. Some Chinese company now has freaking your address. Like weird stuff like that show up on Steam. I love Steam. I have a billion games in Steam. I like to go to Steam and go, ooh, what's new? But every once in a while, I go to this new and trending. I'm looking at it right now. Or no, where is it? Popular upcoming. Here we go. Our Lovely Escape. Nudity, anime, violent, simulation, visual novel. I don't want any of that. It's not for me. So
yeah, I'm not. There's an audience for
I'm
it.
I'm glad
you
there
be able
is.
To toggle it off.
And they should have it. Go have
it. I'm not like, Rape Day is one thing, but like, you know, if they want to have these visual novels that are titillating, like, you know, you go to a bookstore, you're not like, throw out the romance section or I'm out. Don't buy books here. So if they want to have a XXX section, I'm okay with it. They should hide it. And you just, like you said, they should do things with it. But I think, you know, because the Android store, if it's still the way it was, it probably has emulators and illegal programs and torrent crap and all kinds of junk on it. Nobody's writing articles about the Android store. Everyone loves to write articles about Steam. So as soon as something big happens, everything is being jumped on with Steam. Now, I'm not like forgiving them or defending them. I'm just saying Epic taking shots at it is like the pot calling the kettle black. Like they just look good right now. I don't like the things that Epic does. I prefer the way Steam handles things with the exclusives. I don't think there's ever been a Steam exclusive unless it's a Valve game. They don't really make games. But I can't blame Valve for that, and I wouldn't blame Epic for making the games that they develop exclusive to their store.
Well, don't forget, those exclusives over there are timed exclusives. None of them are permanent that I know of.
It doesn't matter. I'm not going to play Metro for a year now. You know, so it's like, and like anything else that happens to come up, like, it's not because I'm not into Epic. It's that you have to give people incentive to want to have your store. And they're doing it by being reductive in the space that doesn't require it. Consoles, you can kind of get behind. PCs, that's our culture, is to have exclusives on certain platforms.
Yeah, but you say, well, you said rape day is... Hold on, you're in the Phantom Zone.
Much care for...
He's in the Phantom Zone.
Epic got him. They're going to silence him.
Yeah, it's Epic heard you. They're
spending that Fortnite money to shut them down.
I've got to get
He's got to get H.
Bo, are you there? It looks like he's pooping. Oh, he's back. Are you there?
Right. I'm getting cutouts. I don't know. I think I'm back.
Yeah, we didn't hear most of that. It was a lot of
See, Epic's trying to kill my Discord now. I bet you it's because the Discord store is on Discord. That's ruining my Discord.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about the Discord store. It's there. That's the thing people use. Look, I don't disagree with you. And I know you've got more of a kind of a vendetta thing with Epic than I do. I don't have a problem with multiple stores. I buy stuff on all sorts of stores. It doesn't bother me. But my thing with you said Rape Day is one thing. And then you said, but this other stuff. And then I wanted to stop you there and say, well, hold on then. Then where is the, what are the lines? And that's what I like. I want a company to say, here are our lines. Even if I don't like those lines, at least I know what they are. So if Valve's line is, we'll take anything. Here's just a few names I found in this category. Girls Dance VR, Hot Girls VR, Cute Girls VR. And then my two favorites here, Hentai Girls Dot Matcher, and sexy hentai girls dots pop. Okay,
look,
so
the quality on them's low. Agreed.
It's very low. So that's also another part of the standard.
Can't you perform fellatio or get fellatio in GTA? Like, isn't that? Well, isn't there simulated sex in Grand Theft Auto?
In your car.
I mean, what's the difference?
Well, no. My point is, no. It's not. That's not the difference. Is this? You have something happening thematically in a car in a parking lot and the car is going, e-er, and then you get out and money went cha-ching and you lost $25. There's a difference between that and Hentai Girl 2000 giving you a close-up handy with a money shot at the end. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what these are. This isn't like,
I know,
hidden
but
stuff.
I'm saying, like, I don't know, criticize the quality or the curating, but if there's a XXX section on Steam, I don't mind as long as I can turn it off.
Me either. That's my point. That's exactly my point. I don't have a problem.
I think
with
we
it.
Agree. I just don't think Epic deserves points.
Oh, no, they don't. They don't.
For being like, our store doesn't have this stuff. I'm like, come on.
I mean, right now their store, to be honest, their store doesn't have anything because it's small.
We totally take GTA and blowjobs and cars, but no anime women with money.
Their problem is,
come on, don't sell me that way. Don't sell any of us that way.
What was the Supreme Court justice years ago? He said, "I don't know how to define porn, but I know it when I see it." That's kind of the stance they're taking. That's kind of the stance they're taking.
Honestly, if Valve took the stance of, we'll know it when we see it, I would feel better about the Steam store. Because again, it's not that I have a problem with necessarily any individual piece of content. It's that game that I looked at that I referred to as the Dark Portal, and Bo was very fascinated by. I'm fine with that game existing. I'm fine with that game being on Steam. The problem is that there is zero moderation unless someone gets up in arms enough and then they go, well, there is moderation. And I just don't like the unclear terms. I also don't give Epic much for what they're saying either. I do think it's a clear shots fired. Whether that gets you or not is fine. You know, there was that year where Sony announced the PS4 right after Xbox had revealed the Xbox One, and Microsoft had said all these things that people were freaked out about, oh, no used games and all of this stuff. And Sony came out and was like, they just started taking shots. They were just like, yeah, used games, you can use them. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're going to act like a video game company. And they took them to task.
Yep.
I am sure that there are plenty of people that were Microsoft fans or not big fans of Sony that were like, they shouldn't be taking those shots. Eh, it's what they do. They take shots at each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy into it or not. I hate having multiple stores. I really wanted to play the new Supergiant game, Hades. So I have the Epic Store on my computer because it was free, and that's how I can play that game. Decision to make.
Are you saying that content in the end is the thing that will drive us wherever we're going to go? Interesting.
Well, yeah, except although I think what Bo's saying is there is content that would drive him there, but principle is keeping him out.
No, he is. But you are holding to your principles, Bo, and there's something to be admired about that. But I guess we all actually kind of agree.
I mean, I've got multiple stores. I've got Good Old Games. I've got Steam. I've got Blizzard and Origin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I had enough. like give me a reason that says Epic is as important as these other ones. And all they have is Epic Games, which there's nothing really that exciting for me to play right now. Fortnite, who cares? And now these exclusives of games I want to play. And I'm not going to throw my money, my vote, to behavior like that. So,
yeah. Yeah, but I also don't want to support. A store that would have let that rape day go through, because that's a different level. It's like encourages some really raunchy business, like real bad.
I agree with you. I'm glad, and I don't think it's content. I think there is a line somewhere, but I'm already invested in Steam. Epic's trying to get me. I've got companies with hooks in me. They have their hooks to sell me their advertising. Their stuff pops up when I load my computer, and Epic's like, come on, we want to be on your computer too, so we can pop up ads and let you invest. I'm like, you've got to give me a really good reason before I'll do that.
Yeah.
Like, Good Old Games, good reason. Old games. I bought Diablo 1 this week. I didn't even play it. I'm just like, Diablo! And I bought it. Like, I just threw money at them.
What would it take? Go ahead.
Here's a devil's advocate question for you, Bo.
Yeah.
You're telling me that somebody's trying to sell you on a platform that puts out video games. Mm-hmm. And what video games are on that platform is not the right way to sell you on it?
Not for exclusives, no. See, so every app you have on your system is a relationship.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
You form a bond with all the apps you have in your life, just like you form bonds with all the people you have in your life. And you choose the ones you have and you push away the ones that aren't for you. And I view the apps on my system in the same way. So if you would like a spot on my computer system, I need to have a good reason. And a good reason is because we made deals with game companies so that they have to pay less to us and that they're exclusive to our store. So I don't like that behavior on consoles. When I had an Xbox, I wish those PlayStation exclusives could be on my Xbox. And I have like deep-seated resentment all my life about not being able to play games on different consoles and stuff like that. I understand why the world is that way, but I do not like it. I pick something and I stick with that. So if they want to spot on my computer, I still haven't heard the sell that's going to sell me on it. That's
right.
And it's not the hardest thing in the world. Just make something I really want, I guess. I don't know. But I have a lot of apps already in my life. Mm-hmm. And it feels like I've got to get rid of one to make room for another. Origin's irritating me. It's going soon. I'm like, I love all the positive things you said about Origin. I agree with, but it pops up on my PC now. I have to manage it. I don't. It's like I'm following more than 200 people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Like you can only process so many relationships before it becomes meaningless. And I feel that way about all these gaming companies who want relationships with consumers. And Epic's got to earn it. I definitely respect them. I love the Unreal Engine. They've made great games, all that kind of stuff. But I don't want their store.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with their store. It was easy to use.
I'm not saying it's a bad store. I'm saying I don't want it.
Yeah. But I mean, how do you feel about the idea that the developers that you're supporting are getting more money there than they would if they were on Steam? Because they are
big companies. I don't care about them. Like, you know,
well, no, like
they got to do, I guess.
But like Darkest Dungeon, if you buy it on Steam, it's a 70-30 split. If you buy it on Epic Store, it's a whatever it is. I forget what the new split is, 85 to whatever. Like Epic gets way less of it and the developers get way more. I mean, that's the thing you'd support, right?
Not necessarily.
I mean, I would love it.
I think the average consumer doesn't care.
Well, yeah, but that's a principled thing. What I'm saying is one man's principle is another man's who cares. And you don't care about that aspect, but you do care about this relationship you have with your apps.
What if I wanted Epic to actually have more money? And I'm like, they're not making enough money off this.
Well, it's another principle, I guess.
It's not, at least for me, it's not something that I give much thought to. It's not really.
Right.
I'm not like, oh, the poor developers, they made a video game and they don't have any money. You know, I'm okay. I would look at that at like a one or two person team making an indie game, like FTL, like the guys behind FTL. Yeah.
I'm seeing people agree with Bo in the chat, which is already tilting me a little bit because this is nuts. But I want to draw a distinct line here because someone in the chat says, I'd love to play the Spider-Man game or Horizon Zero Dawn or whatever, but I'm not going to buy a console just to be able to play a game that's exclusive. I 100% would be with Bo and you on that. That's buying a console. This is a free download on your computer. And if you don't want to interact with it, you don't turn it to where it automatically comes up. Yes, it's free.
It's not free. It's occupying room in your life. If that's how cheap you sell your life, then there you go. But for me, it matters.
Yeah, I mean, I get it where people like here, Trendsetta in the chat says, I bought a PS4 just to play MLB The Show. Must be a huge baseball fan. I totally get it. I understand people will buy a new console once every 3 years just to play the football game they're into. Like, I totally get it. It's just what you value. I value some games that I can't get anywhere else that only Epic's putting right now, specifically Hades. I really like that game, and I'm glad it's playable. Good. It's really good. And so that was enough for me to say, I will put this store here and I will buy it through this, and I'm glad they're getting more money for it. Like, it solves a lot of problems for me. Plus the main one is I got to play the thing I wanted to play. So I don't have any problem with anybody deciding to do whatever they want. It's just a matter of like, what do you value and where do you want to get it? If you value naked anime games, then Steam's your place. I wish Steam was a little better about me just ignoring that section. And also just had some form of quality control. But they don't, and it's still okay. I have 1,000 games over there. I'll keep playing it. Steam's fine. Get what you want to get wherever you want to get it. But it's just, where's the value? And if you're not getting the value you want, then don't do it. If it's valuable to play really good exclusive console games, the PlayStation 4 is a hell of a thing. And you should do it if you value that. But if you look at that as like some kind of affront to your gaming life, then don't buy it. Like, there's no value in it for you. The value that you have is that, you know, what Bo wants is something I want. I want a future of like everything's available to everyone everywhere. That's what I'd like. And maybe cloud computing is it. Maybe that's how we get there.
I was going to say, well, let me tell you about Stadia.
Have you heard of Stadia? but yeah, like that is, I think everybody wants that. But I also make these compromises because I know I'm never going to get to play Mario games on anything but a Nintendo platform. And so I want to buy that Nintendo platform and play those damn Mario games. Like that's valuable to me. And it's another store too to think about and worry about. But I don't know. I think we make too much of it. I mean, back in the old days, we just go to a store and buy the disc and take it home and install it and then try to uninstall it later, and it wouldn't remove everything, and that sucked ass. And so
then you have to buy a new piece of equipment because it never worked right.
Right.
You know, you need a new video card.
Oh, man. And you go back and you're like, you guys have video cards? Yeah, we have the GeForce 3 in 1998.
I need a Voodoo card.
I need a Voodoo card.
I'm cautiously optimistic about cloud, but I don't like the state we're in when it comes to the 100 different stores.
Right.
Not happy. And it same applies for video content. I'm not a happy camper that there's so many different places that I have to figure out where something's streaming and figure out how many things I'm subscribed to. John, are you still subbed to me on Twitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Like, Twitch is getting money for nothing because I haven't been streaming that much. Like, I appreciate it, John. I really do. But the sub model is also somewhat predatory in that it's based on people just letting it lapse or letting it go.
Let me tell you about this hot new cloud computing platform where one price gets everything. See, that's also a thing I think they're aiming for. And if they accomplish that, think of all the other little mini subs you could close and no longer subscribe to. I mean, not talking about Twitch streaming, but you know what I mean? Like, right. I would suddenly not need PlayStation Plus. I would no longer need Xbox Live. I wouldn't want to do most of those kinds of add-on services because what this is promising, if it's real, are all of those things. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Time will tell, everybody.
You know what? In a week from now, I'll probably have the Epic Store installed. So,
well, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do.
That's actually probably true.
Yeah, probably will happen.
Look, we started as a hero show. We know the path of Bo. Mm-hmm. I hate D.Va. D.Va is the worst character known to mankind.
D.Va sucks. What are you going to do?
2 weeks later, he's speaking a different language and has a giant mech.
So I have to protect my time. You know, I get really into things.
Yeah, no, you're
maybe
focused.
Maybe it's just an individual. It's an individual way to approach the world, knowing my health, mental health issues.
Yeah. These guys, the chat room is like so anti-Scott today. It's been that way since this morning. TMS chat room, we're all over my shit. And in here, they're like, Scott's biased and doesn't care what anyone thinks. What are you talking about?
No. You've been really good at stating the fact that you're trying to address the fact that it's tempting for us to be negative in this space. And you're trying really hard to not be negative.
I'm just trying to look at the whole picture and... I've been more whiny than normal this morning, says Walking. Oh, I can't look at the chat room anymore. I can't do it.
They're on you.
They're trolling me.
They're on you hard.
I think they're trolling me because I don't know what I did. All right. Hold on a second. We'll take a quick break. All right. Check this out. Heroes of the Storm. Hey, remember that game? You guys familiar with it?
I played it yesterday.
Heroes of the Storm is getting rid of paid loot boxes. You'll still be able to buy them with currency in the game, but you have to earn that currency. But no more of this, go buy some gems with real money and then use those gems to buy loot boxes. And that's interesting.
I think it's just because it's redundant.
I explain how, because I'm trying to figure out, first of all, I never really understand why they did it in the first place, but now I'm not sure why getting rid of it changes anything. But
I mean, I assume they made a lot of money with Overwatch, so I think they just went, Overwatch is doing pretty well, let's do it. Mm. I think it's just because everything is now available as a per gem purchase in the store. So why have loot boxes?
Right.
Like, then you're actively, if you can get a skin you wanted for 400 gems, I guess that's $4, let's say.
Yeah.
Why would you buy four loot boxes and maybe not get it at all? You know, why would you do that? There's just, if everything's purchasable, there's no need spend that much money on a random loot box. And I bet you nobody's buying them because that game gives it out for free like hotcakes.
Yeah, every level, new box. I'm fine with this. This sounds good to me. Seems like a retraction of a few of the things that I found oppressive about the game. And it wasn't that oppressive. I didn't feel forced to do it, but I never liked the idea of doing it. And it never.
Did you ever buy loot boxes?
I did once, just to say I could knew what the experience was.
Same here.
I think it was $10, or I don't remember. It was low. But anyway, if you don't like loot boxes as currently constituted as a purchasable thing with real money, it's going away. So there you go. I'm anxious to see what things like this they keep chipping away at. You know,
there's a Cyberpunk event coming.
Yeah, I saw that. It looked pretty cool. You like Cyberpunk?
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yes.
You like a little bit of a...
There's a Carl Jim skin, Cyberpunk skin.
Shut up.
That was the best part.
I missed that. I missed it. I didn't know.
It's in the art. I haven't seen the skin in game, but it's in the art. Chromie, Butcher, and Carl Jim, I think, are the main ones getting Cyberpunk skins. And I'm like, oh, a Street Monk? Yes!
Street Monk, dude. That's really cool. I saw her. I saw Chromie with the horns looking all blue and Tron-y, you know, like Tron horns. That was really cool. But I didn't see Carl Jim in there. That's exciting.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of super stoked for this event, to be honest with you.
All right. That's coming up. Let's see, on PTR now.
So who knows? PTR now and probably launches next week.
All right.
Along with the new event and the new role system also coming next week.
Oh, really? I was wondering if that was ever going to happen. All right, new role system next week. Heroes, still a threat. Let's talk about the rest of the games that we've been into. I've mostly been spending my time in Wildlands this week. I haven't had a ton of extra time, but when I have, that game just calls to me even more than Division 2, which I have, but I have not spent as much time in because every time I play... Most shooters these days, I kind of go, ooh, I could just be doing this in Wildlands and getting further in that. And I really like Wildlands. I like how that game handles just about everything. Which is a weird thing to say because I didn't get excited about it at launch and it took me a while to get my head around it. And now I think it's perhaps the best open world game on the market right now, in my opinion. And they've really supported it and there's always new stuff happening. And I got to fight the Predator, so that was cool. Still pretty hooked. John, can you please explain your love of Warframe? Because I thought previous to last week, you were not into it and couldn't get you just couldn't get into it. And suddenly John's Warframe all the time. What the hell?
Yeah, it's true. That happened. Enjoy now as I talk about an old game as if it were brand new and just discovered by me, John Jagger, on this show. Warframe, it turns out, is maybe the greatest game ever made. I don't know.
I'm telling you, I know that feeling. It is like crack. It's crack frame. Mm.
It's once you break through its impenetrable outer shell, once you somehow become I can't think of another analogy. I'm just going to go with it. The lucky sperm that makes it into the egg and produces what is Warframe. You get something amazing. It's a really, really good game.
I mean, is there any one thing that turned you around? Because I know you were like...
Yeah, you know. Okay, so here's the thing. Warframe, I got in, I was like, okay, I'm a floaty ninja with a gun and a sword, and that's okay. And I run around, and I got a gun and a sword, and everything looks a little shitty, and I can't tell if I love or hate the art style. I think maybe it's both. At the same time. Mm. And, you know, running around shooting, killing things felt pretty good. But it was just kind of this generic, like, whatever kind of experience. And then I started to unlock powers, and they weren't that interesting. It's like, well, now you can pull guys. And so I'd press a button, and my character would go, whoa, and guys would fly at them. And I was like, all right, well, that's whatever. Okay, fine. Kept going. Discovered that there are other frames with other abilities in the game, and this is where it changed, because it went from a generic shooter to all of a sudden almost like Heroes of the Storm or League of Legends, where now instead of this lame, like, oh, I just kind of pull you character, all of a sudden I'm this character that can freaking infect people with a disease that spreads. If I kill them, the disease goes all over the place and there'll be a whole army of dudes in front of me. And I just infect one and I kill one of them. And the next thing I know, the entire army I'm fighting is infected and they all explode and die. There's friggin' weird robot pirates with tentacles. There's basically Sylvanas is in there. There's people who can stealth. There's people who can mind control enemies. There's people doing... There's like a freaking Lucio that actually operates on how loud the battlefield is for sound amplification. Like, holy shit! There's so much cool stuff in this game. And I was like, I just didn't know it. I thought I was just playing a shooter. I by no means understand this game yet. I just got a snowboard for some reason, a hoverboard. I don't know what that's about. I don't know why I needed it. I don't know why I needed it for the mission. I don't know how to use it, but I have it now, and that's great. It's insane. And I super dig this game now, and I can't stop playing it. And I feel like, now, people love Warframe, so it's probably heresy for me to say this, but in a world where we're getting games like Anthem and Destiny 2 and all of that, first of all those games feel like 18 steps back from what Warframe offers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Second, I would kill to see a game with the level of polish of one of those games, but doing what Warframe does. Because that's the only thing that I feel like is holding Warframe back, is it just needs to look a little better. It just needs to play just a smidge better. It just needs to be a lot more understandable to the common folk like me. And it would be 100% perfect. Yeah. Now, I know Bo's probably going to disagree with
me. I agree with you completely. You were spot on. The only thing in my theory is that it's part of the charm.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
I think that feeling of it's old but new and janky but really good is just part of the charm. Like, it's this Frankenstein of a computer program that runs really well, but like some stuff just looks so ugly.
Yeah, the enemies in that game look like they are straight out of Quake. Like, they just did a drag and drop from Quake and put them in the game, and here they are. They look like shit, but you're going to fight them anyway, and you're like, all right, well, I don't see them for very long because I'm going to just decimate them, so it's fine.
Yeah. How are you cool with it being third person rather than a first person affair?
Yeah, it actually works really well because there's a thing called bullet jumping in that game, which I learned about because it's an achievement that apparently was a weird little glitch that they decided to just go, well, have it. And you basically will, to move fast, jump through the air, do a little spin, then slide on the ground, then leap into the air, then slide on the ground. You basically move like a dolphin. And if you press the aim button while you're doing that, time slows down to nothing, and you friggin' John Woo through the air shooting at people. It's crazy. Like, you gotta just get into it enough to understand how insane it is, and then you just go, oh my gosh, this is so great.
Yeah.
There's just an amazing, like, straight out of the 90s, early 2000s world in here that's just incredible.
It's got that Diablo feeling where you can just zen out and just do the same thing for 3 hours and just have fun killing hordes of dudes.
Mm.
Like, it works really well on that front. It's a game to me that feels most like playing Diablo 3 that isn't a top-down action RPG.
That's interesting. So are you both, when you either of you play, are you just soloing this? Are you playing with randos? Are you playing with friends? What do you do?
John just discovered it. So when I play, there's public groups. You can just join a group and people are usually, there's no toxicity. Actually, people are usually really helpful.
Mm.
Sometimes if they think you have a valuable item, they might try to screw you out of it. but there's not really toxicity, and the only downside is, like, if people know what they're doing, they can move kind of fast. No problem. You can just put it to turn public off play them by yourself. But the harder missions, you'll want to have teammates.
Yeah.
I've played a little bit here and there with people online, and it's fun, but that game also, it has a really interesting leveling system. In that you don't gain experience points in that game. The way that you gain your player level is by mastering weapons to level 30.
Mm.
So it encourages you to go out and try more weapons. And then at a certain point, there's a mastery test, and you have to pass the test to get your new, like, karate belt, basically. And some of them are pretty hard, and it takes a long time. Like, I've been playing the game for years. I've only mastered, like, 12 out of, like, 25. It takes a long time to get the mastery levels. So there's a really interesting angle that way, too, to progression. that I'm like, you could do this in Diablo. Like, anyways, there's a lot of great ideas in that game that really make it work. I love that game to bits.
Well,
I'm actually thinking of going to TennoCon next summer.
TennoCon? What the hell's that?
So the you play as a member of a ninja race called the Tenno.
Yeah.
And so TennoCon is like BlizzCon, but the Tenno go there. And it's in Toronto, so I don't have to like cross borders to go. Like,
wow.
Digital Extremes actually is a developer in Canada. So I'm like, I just hop a quick train and go hang out with the Tenno. So I think I might do that.
That's pretty cool. I had no idea that that was a thing. That's crazy. All right. Well, there's that. Bo, what have you been playing?
So I haven't really played too many video games this week. I played Pandemic Legacy.
How is that? Is that the one where you throw the cards away when you're done?
Yeah, yeah. So it's the version of Pandemic, which is Pandemic, for those who don't know, is it's a cooperative board game where you cure the diseases out of the world. Okay. So if the diseases kill everyone, you lose. If you cure it, you win.
Okay.
Legacy is where you play it over the series of 12 months. So yes, you rip up cards and the game develops like a campaign in D&D or anything like that. And we're hooked.
Yeah.
We played three games in one night. And we're like, oh, can we play a fourth? And I'm like, no, we can't. We have to go to bed. It was really fun. So
who are you playing with? Crofton?
Crofton and Mike.
Those guys,
dude. And we argue so much. So as a cooperative game, it's super funny because you're just like, oh, my God, why are you doing that? Just listen. But that's the kind of fun that's to be had with the co-op game, right?
So yeah.
It's good.
Those guys are probably fun to play with.
Yeah, so I really recommend. I like co-op games to begin with just because then you're not competing with your friends. Mm-hmm. You're working together. As video gamers, we play tons of co-op games, so
right.
No need to explain. But it's nice to play board games that are like that.
Yeah. I keep hearing Gloomhaven is like the best new version of that. Like Gloomhaven's a really good co-op.
Once this is over, we might graduate to Gloomhaven because we're having such a good time with this, and Gloomhaven was reviewing so well.
Mm-hmm. People love it. People love it. There's a video game version of that getting developed and saw some screenshots of it, and it looked interesting as well. But Gloomhaven, man, the hit of the 2010s.
A lot of board pieces.
One quick recommendation before we jump to a couple of calls here. If you haven't started Love, Death, and Rockets, sorry, Robots, I keep saying Rockets. Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix, stop everything you're doing and watch that. It's an amazing anthology of animated content that's incredible and not for the kids and incredible, if I haven't already said that. It's very incredible. It's really good. All right. Let's dive into this, shall we? Time for a quick couple of phone calls. These came to us at 801-471-0462. These are voicemails. 401-470-4710462. We got one about DMC5, and it's from this listener. I thought I had it queued up. Here we go. This listener right here.
Hi, Bo, Scott, and John. You had a conversation about Devil May Cry 5 on your show last week, and I just wanted to say that I tried the demo out on PlayStation Network. You can just download it, which is cool. And I actually couldn't beat the first boss. I was wondering if you guys had actually tried the demo, and maybe I'm just really bad at Devil May Cry, or I found it very frustrating that I couldn't beat a boss in the demo of the game. That's all. Thanks for all your hard work. And Bo, you have great hair.
Ooh, a little compliment on the tail end there.
Ooh.
Yeah, hubba hubba.
It's 80% of the talent. If I didn't have the hair, you'd be like, Bo, we need to talk about Core.
Well, I haven't played it yet. I've been tempted. John, you mentioned you were tempted, but...
Yeah, and now that the new PC's here, it seems like a good cut-and-teeth game for the PC. So yeah. I'm extra tempted at the moment. But no, I haven't played it yet. But I will say, just with past experience in Devil May Cry, not necessarily uncommon. They definitely will punish you into learning the mechanics of that game at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you feel like it would be indicative, like in the demo? Normally, demos are supposed to hook you, so you're like, "Oh, here's my extra money, and I'll just buy up to the full game." I mean, just from a philosophical standpoint, do you think it's a bad idea to make it so that your first boss is a real bummer, and then you're like, "I don't know if I want to pay for this."
I mean, if it's indicative of the game that you're getting, I think it's the right thing to do rather than be like, look how great you are. You're so good at Devil May Cry. Oh man, you're awesome. Here's all your S ranks for your combat. You sure are good. Then you get the real game and it's like, you scrub. What are you doing here? So, I mean, I think, you know, sell the game that you made. And I don't know how hard the game itself actually is. But, you know, I think as long as that boss reflects what that game is actually like, I think that's probably the right way to do it.
All right. Well, there you go then. Make a decision there, dude at home, and hopefully you can beat more than just the one boss. Here's one more asking about names.
This is Luke in Tucson. I was just calling to ask about names. I know Scott has some strong feelings about names. I know recently he didn't like Apex Legends, and he doesn't like Stadia. What names have you liked in recent history, or do you like?
Even the callers are being hard on Scott.
Yeah, getting
today.
A little bit of troll from all angles today. It's really going great. Here's more.
Overwatch a good name?
Yes, by the way, I'll pause him right there. Overwatch is a great name. I'll let him continue, though.
Curious about that. And then the other thing is, I know Scott doesn't like using the word pod, and yet I believe the new Twitter handle is now Core Pod. So I wanted to learn more about that. How did that come to be? Love the show.
They're just sitting around putting bait on hooks and casting it my direction.
You are getting roasted on the pod bit. I think you're on the pod bit. The roast stands. Mm. Although, yeah, everyone is, when everyone's bombarding you, it does feel bad. So I don't want to contribute to that.
No, it's fine. Look, I've gone on the record of saying I don't like when people say, oh, I loved your latest pod. For some reason, that usage bugs me more than me putting it in a Twitter account because I can't get Core by itself.
Yeah. Or as Crofton likes to say, oh, last week we discussed that on the pod. And I'm like, no.
You're not allowed to do it.
Do not say that ever again.
I was under the impression that Pod was dead.
She is. Spoilers.
Well, it wasn't till you said it.
There will be dungeons. Go listen and you'll catch up on all the Pod going on there. But yeah, I know that people say Pod. I know that it's probably going to be a way for people to say stuff. But it just every time I read it, I get like a weird little pain in my intestines.
It just it seems like something somebody would say before they show you something on their body you don't want to see.
Yeah, I don't want to see your pod. Are you kidding?
I was going to pull down my pants so I can show you my pod.
Yeah, not interested. Thank you very much. All right. That's it for your calls.
If I could defend you for a quick second.
Please defend me.
We couldn't call the show Core Heroes anymore on Twitter.
No.
We had to come up with something. Probably Core Show was taken anyways.
It was. So I tried to do it. I tried to get Core Show. I tried a whole bunch of other versions. I could still do it again. It's not hard to change a name if you can find one. It's just that, and it doesn't lose any followers. It just moves over. So it's like not hard, but it's the best I could do. So take it or
How
leave it.
How about DA Core, all capitalized, Show.
Now
Duh
we
669.
Now
yeah, X.
Now we can't be friends ever again. We're done. I don't know. It is Core Pod, so follow us on Twitter, by the way. And if you want to leave us a voicemail like those two chuckleheads, you can. The number is 801-471-0462. Or you can leave us an email over on the site, frogpants.com/core. It's a little contact link. Boom, you're in. And we're happy to read those on the show as well. I think that's everything for today. It's a nice, long, long, tasty one.
Yeah, sorry I wasn't able to speak a lot, everyone, but my hair did a lot of the heavy lifting today.
Yeah, it did. Did all right. Bo's got some weird thing going on, but you'll figure it out. I'm sure it'll be fine. After you lobotomize your computer, does your computer have a name? Did you name her?
No.
Oh. Is it a her or a him? Would you at least give it a gender?
Yeah, it's her.
Okay. And did
she's just over there working away.
Do you touch wieners? Just kidding. Let me ask you this question. It's because you were talking earlier how you have a personal relationship with your computer and the apps that go on it, and you want to.
Yeah. I know all the machinery that's in there. I know it, where all the wires are plugged in.
Yeah. I think that's good, and I can't wait to hear how it goes on your end once you have
I think I've got I've got a side piece I'm going to boot up.
Oh, a side piece.
I've got a second PC. Yep.
Oh, side PC. I thought you said side piece. I'm like,
what? Yeah. I did say side piece, but side PC works. I have a plan.
Okay.
During the show, everyone, I was troubleshooting the entire time.
Yeah.
And formulating a plan for next week, so it doesn't happen again.
It's all good. Don't forget, you can follow Bo at Bo Schwartz on Twitter. You can follow John at John_Jagger on Twitter as well. You can find me at Scott Johnson. The show is at Core Pod. And for everything else, find it at frogpants.com/core. Don't forget you can support us at patreon.com/core show. That's how the show maintains itself. If you're looking to give some support to your favorite creators, and we happen to be some of them, then think about it. patreon.com/core show. That's going to do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.